Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Thursday, Golden Eagle fans. Listen across the state of Mississippi on the Super Talk Mississippi Network. It's the Eagle Hour. Game day. Golden Eagles in the Bayou tonight, taking on the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Going to talk a lot about it today. Kickoff at 6:30 p.m. on ESPNU. It's just the first Thursday game we've had. We've had a Tuesday game, but glad, back in the day, Kelly Sander, I'll bring you in. You're with Michael Mergens in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. I'm in Laurel. You know, back in the day, we used to play a lot of Thursday games. I think one year in 2003, we played three games on a Thursday, but fun to be back on the Thursday night highlight scale and national appearance tonight.
Now, you're on your way back from Lake Charles yesterday. On the way to Lake Charles through Lafayette, did you demask anything in Lafayette or let them know that you were there? And
I just cruised through. I did hit Whataburger at backup on the way back. All the Cajun restaurants were closed at 9:30. So I did not do anything that would bring shame upon the University of Southern Mississippi. We'll just let the Eagles do what they need to do tonight.
Well, Merg was not in his head, so no doubt he has frequented that establishment, Merg.
Whataburger is a good choice.
You like Whataburger.
No matter where you are. No matter where you are. Anyway, Golden Eagles tonight kick it off at 6:30. Looking to get win number three. And let's talk about it. Scott Watkins from the Sun Herald joins us. He'll be with us two segments today. And Scott, Golden Eagles, momentum the last couple weeks, unfortunate at App State, but get the win against ULM. And I guess let's start there and then talk our way into tonight. What did you see Saturday for the second week in a row? You know, out of Jordy Joseph and Sam Gregg to think that the Golden Eagles can put up some points tonight in Lafayette?
Yeah, what I saw that kind of carried over from the App State game, and the biggest difference between those two games and every other Will Hall game that I've watched, especially last year and this year, it's that the game plan seems more personnel targeted. It seemed like Hall was trying to get the ball into as many of his playmakers as possible. We're looking at Frog Jones, we're looking at Frank Gore Jr., Ty managed to carry his cast, and those are the four guys that are getting pushed the football right now, and it's working wonders. Right away against Eagle Monroe, hitting those explosives early on was really big. Took the foot off the gas a little bit, but as Will Hall said after the game, that wore down ULM, and you had the big fourth quarter, the two fourth quarter drives there. That was a result of those two middle quarters. That was kind of the difference that I saw. You saw everything kind of get put together offensively in a way that it just has not been before. And I think that's going to provide a lot of confidence going forward, especially going to a Louisiana team, a team that under Mike Dez plays very strong and very well conditioned.
You mentioned, you know, the shots down the field, the vertical shots that we've seen the last 2 weeks. And, you know, that and working the edges of the field has really opened Frank Gore up, you know, with big runs throughout the game, but, you know, able to close it out Saturday, in the fourth quarter at the same time. Even in App State, things open up when you attack on both of those dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely. They're playing really, really balanced right now, which is really important. And it's not just the run-pass balance, but it's also the pass depth that you're looking at. For a long time, you only saw Southern Miss go underneath. You only saw this offense go screen, drag, and that was really it. You never really saw the ball get pushed downfield. they're balancing those downfield shots with the inside zones, and it's working really well right now. I would love to see it continue because it is UL Monroe, but that's a really big game, a really good opportunity to do that in. But that's the kind of game that you wanted to see against Arkansas State back at early in the season. So you want it to carry over. So I'm really anxious to see how that looks against the Cajuns defense.
Kelly?
Well, when you look at the rest of the schedule here, Scott Watkins, the Eagles, they've had their injuries along the way, but heading into this final stretch, all in all, other than the secondary, they're okay. I mean, compared to the Cajuns who are going into tonight with the third-string quarterback, forgive me for even asking this question, but even if the Eagles win any of these last games, is there an asterisk because these other teams are banged up? I mean, can you take anything from these?
I don't know. I don't think you can apply an asterisk or anything like that. Mississippi State is Mississippi State. Louisiana's got some injuries. The Southern Miss deal, yeah, they're healthy everywhere but the secondary. But the secondary is torn apart right now.
Right.
And has been for several weeks. So that's a pretty big issue. I don't know if you can throw an asterisk on any game that Southern Miss wins, especially this Louisiana game. QB3, this is not your typical QB3 that you look around the country, you're not going to see another QB3 like Chandler Fields, somebody who has played 400-plus snaps of FBS football. He's very good pre-snap. He's very experienced. This is his fifth year. He knows the game. He knows the offense. They've been almost the exact same throughout his entire career. They're -1 in the run game. That's the biggest difference between going from Zion Chris to Chandler Fields. So I don't think I don't think you can put anything on it. I don't think that anybody on the Cajun side can say, well, yeah, we lost, but, you know, QB3. I don't think you can throw that out there. Louisiana is still the best rushing offense, one of the two best rushing offenses in the league, and that the quarterback doesn't have it has a little bit to do with that, especially Zion Chris, but with the running backs in the offensive line that they have, they should be able to continue to run their offense.
And they're one game away from bowl eligibility.
Yeah.
That should be noted as well. We've talked about Ethan Crawford this past week, and maybe ad nauseum to some folks, considering his name has just gotten out there this year. If he plays tonight, then he's at his limit as far as redshirting him. But going forward, and this is all hypothetical, but to me, he's got the type of build and the type of ability to where he could be converted to a running back if you were to need that. What say you? Is that too far-fetched, or is it just me?
You know, you want your athlete to play, your best athletes to play quarterback, especially if they can throw the ball, especially if they can throw the ball as hard as Ethan Crawford can throw it. If they need it, you know, sure, I guess. I think that in that kind of situation, you really want to get beat down. You want to get in a situation that your secondary is in. I don't think you want to throw Ethan Crawford out there, who is 1 year removed from a torn ACL, and have him play running back right away, especially when you're trying to get him going against FBS defenses, Sun Belt Conference defenses as a quarterback. Maybe in the future if that happens. But I think if you're Will Hall, you're probably very excited about a Billy Wilds, Ethan Crawford competition here in the spring.
All right, before I throw you back to Luke, I wanted to ask you this about the Jordy Joseph, Sam Gregg, and I hesitate to use the word experiment, but going forward, do you think this is going to stick with Will Hall? Or do you think that once the season is over, he reshuffles the deck and maybe goes back to the drawing board and tries something else?
My expectation is that there's going to be a staff reshuffling. I expect to see a full-time offensive coordinator. I'm not sure how long something like this kind of setup is fairly unique. It's not seen in a lot of other places where you have one guy putting together the game plan and then somebody else calling the plays. I don't know how long you can kind of hold that together for, but I would expect an offensive coordinator, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Let me just, Kelly, please don't bring up Ethan Crawford to running back ever again, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You got J.Q. Gray, you got Dreek Clark coming back, and Scott, I mean, the Jalen Washington kid from Houston High School, this kid's going to has the opportunity to explode in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I have. I've been reached out to about him. He looks really good. Put up a lot of big numbers this year, and definitely somebody who I think Southern Miss fans should be keeping an eye on. Without
a doubt. And I say that with Clay. Here, so. With Clay, yeah, obviously you're in the South, but yeah, with Clay as well. I mean, I think that there. So Kelly, to Scott's point, I do believe when you have an athlete of that can throw the ball like that, just the extra dimension.
Yeah, I get that, but can I just throw this back in there?
No, you can't. No,
statistically, yeah, statistically, and we all know have been that the Eagles under Will Hall have gone, what, 7 or 8 deep? There was, you know, one of the seasons we had to go 7 or 8 deep to get a quarterback. But statistically, running backs take the brunt of injuries. You've got some other guys.
So why do you want him to be a running back?
So that the running back room is deeper, and you've got some more talented quarterbacks that are coming into the fold. I mean, I didn't say it was going to happen. I'm just saying, could that be a possibility?
Point, I mean, we've seen multiple teams in FBS have the ability with two different types of athletes. I mean, Utah's one of them, you know, to be able to utilize, you know, all of that. So, yeah, I'm mostly kidding with you, but I'm saying Ethan Crawford.
Yeah, it's a little far-fetched, but
needs to be a quarterback. I'm glad you admitted it. I didn't want to say that. But anyway, first commercial break of the day. Scott's going to stick around. We'll talk a little more about tonight's game and talk more about the Sun Belt. Game day on the Eagle Hour. Southern Miss and Louisiana tonight at 6:30. Stick with us on the Eagle Hour on a Thursday.
Southern Miss to the top.
Continuing on Thursday, game day Thursday, Golden Eagles in Louisiana tonight at 6:30 in Lafayette, Louisiana. Happy to have you along with us. That first segment was brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Our hometown team, located just outside Turtle Creek Mall, Justin Harris and his great staff, cooking up a great stuff. And as Kelly has been telling us, Thanksgiving menu. Right, Kelly? Get that turkey taken care of at Dickey's.
Yeah, you don't even have to, like some places will smoke it for you if you provide them the turkey, but you don't even have to do that. Just tell them how many people are coming. They'll assess how big of a bird you need. They'll smoke it. They'll, you know, fry it. They'll do whatever you want. Just let them know. And then all you have to do is pick it up. But give them enough heads up so that they can make it just perfectly for you and yours.
Absolutely. This segment brought to you by Campus Bookmark on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The place to go with basketball season now, football season winding down. Great opportunities. Go ahead and get those Christmas gifts. You can shop online, campusbookmark.net. We continue with Scott Watkins from the Sun Herald down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. All right, Scott, let's talk about keys tonight for you. We've talked a little offensively, but we'll start there. What do the Eagles have to do offensively tonight to get a road win?
Control the trenches. I think this game is going to be entirely about trench warfare. I think that's where the entire game is going to be played. You've got to protect Billy Wiles when they drop back. I don't want to see a ton of dropbacks, but I want to see them control the line of scrimmage. That is going to be the most important thing for Southern Miss. They're able to do that against the Warhawks, but there's still time. I mean, ULM was disruptive in that game. Make no mistake about it. They got into the backfield. They got to Billy Wiles. They had, I think, 10 tackles for loss. It was crazy. They have got to do a better job at that. I know we're November conference play. It's very difficult to do that now. You've got to be able to control the line of scrimmage against Louisiana.
Yeah, that's for me. As we talked about it yesterday, three of those guys in there, Jay Walker told us this is the front five. He thinks front four is the best in the conference. They got so many guys with tackles for loss and sacks. So if they go deep, it's got to be, Kelly and I were talking yesterday, it's got to be a little shorter deep game than just a – and what bothers me, I'll just comment on this when we go to defense. What bothers me a little about that is so much of Southern Miss's passing game, Scott, is built off play action.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got to be quicker, I think, and I think that it is. I think that it is getting quicker, and I think that the balance of that, going to that those quick throws, but mixing in the deep balls, it is forcing secondaries to be a little bit a bit more honest. The boxes are being stacked quite a bit. You saw that against App State especially. They did not see as many big boxes as you saw in previous games. So that's made a difference, but they've still got to protect Wiles for more than, you know, a second and a half.
Defensively, Golden Eagles hold ULM to 7 points. It was completely different from what happened against App State. What do they need to do to stop the Cajuns tonight?
Key in on the run and keep everything in front of them. That's the big thing, is to prevent the big play, and I think they'll be fine, honestly. Louisiana's not an overly explosive team. They want to ground and pound. They want to grind out defenses, keep everything in front, play sound. They have to watch the penalties, no personal fouls. There were a couple of those against ULM. Got to limit that. And then this game, you guys know that I like stats and I like numbers. I don't like any stats. I don't like any numbers in this game. I think it's just execution. The number I hate the most is the spread. 10 points is a massive number to me in this game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be gross. I think it's going to be brutal. And it's going to be that type of game on a Thursday night.
Kelly, I like that phrase. It's going to be close. It's going to be gross. I like that. That's T-shirt material, Merg. You were talking about T-shirts earlier. That's got a Chicago ring to it. It's going to be close. It's going to be gross.
Wear that to your going out at night for the other women. It's going to be close. It's going to be gross.
Yeah. Old Town Chicago. Yeah. In particular, Scott, where has Frank Gore of the last 2 weeks been the whole season? Has it been the system? Or where has he been? What do you make of this reemergence?
Yeah, I think it's the balance of the offense and the fact that Dree Clark has been hurt as well. So it's just been Frank Clark out there with a little bit of Kenny Clay mixed in. I think the two things have just combined at the right time for him, and he's finally woken up, coming out of that slumber a little bit. And he tends to finish these seasons really strong. So it's not like this is the first time this has happened.
Noah Freire of the Freire and Smith podcast yesterday on our show said that he thought that Frank Gore was a pro prospect. Now, obviously, we're putting the cart way ahead of the horse. There's lots of football yet to be played this collegiate season. But we've always been told that Frank Gore was too small to play in the NFL. What say you, or what do you know?
You know, there's a reason why he plays on special teams, and that would be it. He has potential as a pro athlete, and I think that's largely where it is. I think he can break onto a roster by being a very good special teams type player, and that's why he's out there on punt return or punt block or whatever it is. He's on the punt team.
All right, you mentioned that you think that Will Hall would have, you know, a specific offensive coordinator at the end of the year. Do you think that and you don't have to be real specific, but do you think there will be other changes on the staff this year?
I don't want to jump to that. I've done that before, and it didn't work out in my favor. It kind of went backwards. You know, things happen, and sometimes things are taken out of your control, and that's kind of been the theme of this Southern Miss team this year, is that there have been some things that just they haven't been able to handle themselves because it's out of their hands. So I think that they'll look at that, and they'll take all that in, and Will Hall will figure out the best thing for the team.
And I'm glad you brought that up. We've been very clear on this show, too, when we're talking about reshuffling the deck. I mean, you have to make decisions. You have to make hard decisions. That's the nature of the business. I just want all of our fans and listeners to realize that when you scream for decisions, you're also dealing with people's lives. And I know they get paid. I know that's their job. But just, you know, with your criticism, I'm talking to our listeners. Kelly, you're aware of that, Scott, too. But just people need to be mindful of that. All right, let's talk about the Sun Belt. Let you comment on James Madison's situation, the appeal. But just kind of walk us through the league, Scott, your feel of the East and the West at this point in November.
The East has played out kind of as I expected it to. Maybe not in the order that it is, but everybody is within, like, one game of each other after James Madison. And that's what I expected. Everyone's so good over there. That entire division, mathematically, could be bowl eligible at the end of the year, which is nuts. It's gonna be an interesting finish because you've got Coastal and you've got Georgia Southern, and App State is still in the mix. Those three teams, one of those three teams is going to play for a division title if the James Madison situation doesn't change, or a conference title if the James Madison situation doesn't change. I have no idea what's going to happen. I think the Texas State Coastal game this weekend is a big one. I think that is the last huge cross-division matchup of the season. Texas State caused a little bit of chaos by beating Georgia Southern last week, and they could cause complete total mayhem by beating Coastal this week. So looking forward to it.
As far as in the West, Will Hall kind of told us Monday, it's Troy and kind of everybody else. And Kelly has just kind of – what did you say, Kelly, with Noah yesterday? How did you describe South Alabama?
I don't remember. I'm getting old.
You said Kane like takes some dice and just kind of rolls
it. He rolls the dice. If it comes up an odd number, we're going to play well, and if it's an even number, we're going to stink it up. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the number turned out to be this week, but man, what an enigma they have been. You just don't know what you're getting. Like the Forrest Gump's box of chocolates, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's I think South Alabama has been the biggest disappointment in the Sun Belt as far as how they performed relative to team talent and team expectations. I have no idea what's caused it. They did have some injuries early on, especially on defense, and they were big ones, took them out for the year. But they've just been inconsistent on offense as well. So it's been really weird, and plus Carter Bradley's hurt now. So you never know what kind of Jags team you're going to get, and they've been the hardest team to predict by far, especially now that Oklahoma State is tearing it up. So that just makes it weird.
Yeah, Oklahoma State's what, ranked 15th in the country now, and the talk of the Big 12 conference, and could eventually play for the title in the Big 12. A lot of the Big 12 teams have already released their schedules for next year, and it's interesting when you look at those Big 12 schedules and don't see Texas and Oklahoma on those schedules. Already a little bit tough to digest the new look SEC that will have Texas and Oklahoma in there. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. The Eagles then will have a long, long week to prepare for that team up in Starkville, who is going through, they've got some problems of their own up there, and may have some more after coming back from College Station this weekend.
Yeah, it's a weird game. It's a weird game to look at. You always have a tough time kind of judging those games where you have a bad SEC team going up against a Sun Belt team that you think should be good, that is talented, but just hasn't performed up to expectations. So I don't know if anybody really knows what to expect of that game. I personally, we were talking about it on the space the other night, I wouldn't be surprised if an upset occurred on that day. I do think Mississippi State is probably the more talented team right now, but their fans are already putting other coaches in Mississippi State gear on Twitter, so I don't really know what's going on up there.
And Scott Watkins, I know this is a Southern Miss show, and I know you're on the Gulf Coast, and I know you have to just be so excited and can hardly contain yourself the fact that hockey will soon be starting again on the Gulf Coast, the Sea Wolves ready to hit the ice for another year.
Yes, we are super excited about the Sea Wolves. Maybe I will finally go to a game this year.
Go to one game.
Hey, Scott, thanks thanks for your time, man. Appreciate you joining us, and thanks for your expertise and your coverage.
Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure, as always.
Scott Watkins, Sun Herald, covering Southern Miss Sports, does a great job. Hey, we'll step aside. Mike Frazier from JUCO Weekly. Playoffs in the Mississippi JUCO system. Eagle Hour continues on a Thursday.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill. If you're going to be pre-gaming tonight, which I know a lot of people are, Jason Bailey and his Black Ops tailgating group, they're going to be at 4th Street Bar and Grill tonight watching the Southern Miss Louisiana game. That's the place to be. Everybody there will be in their Southern Miss black and gold ready to cheer on the Eagles tonight. You can grab dinner there if you want to. Game of darts. You can shoot some pool. But everybody there knows your name, and an occasional game of trivia, and a great place to hang out and have some fun right in the shadow of the Rock. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Proud to be a supporter of Southern Miss athletics. Joining us now is Mike Frazier, as he does every Thursday, to bring us up to date with the latest down-to-earth information from the MACCC, the Mississippi Association of Community Colleges Conference, and they are headed into the playoffs now. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
And we are down to four, so bring us up to speed.
Sure. In that South Division matchup, you've got Colwyn the number one seed entertaining Northwest and Mississippi Gulf Coast with the win last week at Jones. They claim the number two spot, and they're heading up to East Mississippi. Now, in that Colin game against Northwest, man, boy, Johnny Daniels, the running back, is really been very effective here the last few weeks. We spoke with Clint Davis earlier in the week, and he is just ecstatic at the chemistry on both sides of the ball. He said this is one of the tightest teams he's ever coached, and they've just got this will and eye of the tiger attitude. So he really feels good about his football team heading in against Northwest against Benji Parker. Now, Benji's won four in a row, and, man, Benji just gets it done. That's another guy that they'll be naming buildings after up in Senatobia and Northwest. I mean, this guy is a winner, future Hall of Famer. So, you know, it's pretty cool. You look at these players, Devin Tott and Johnny Daniels, also Billy Pullen on the defensive line, second in the country in sacks with 13. And, you know, Colin's ready to go. And then, of course, Mississippi Gulf Coast and East Mississippi, just two traditional powerhouses with multiple national titles between them. And, man, if you're Jack Wright, man, what a hard road to hoe as well. Your reward, head back up to East Mississippi and try to feed it to a team that you fed it to once already. And you know Buddy Stevens and that crew will be sitting there waiting. So that will be one. And, man, that's whew. Again, it's a cold-hearted, tough league. And it's illustrating that here once again.
And we know that Buddy Stevens takes a loss so well.
Like nobody else.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think by all of our reactions, everybody understands. All right, Mike. Now, a lot of people in Mississippi want to know about the potential of a Mississippi team that might have two losses. What are the chances of a Mississippi team with two losses being able to play for a national title?
I think that's a 50-50 call. I think the best chance for the league is that Colin or Mississippi Gulf Coast win the conference championship, because they'll be a one-loss team and they will get into that 4-team playoff. The problem you have is, you know, Snow College is the big wild card. Snow is going to win this week and they're going to finish 9-2. But, you know, Snow, and we talk about this on the podcast, Snow just does not play a schedule, in our opinion, that is worthy enough to grab one of those four slots when you start comparing teams from Mississippi and Texas. And see, Texas, they got Kilgore with a one-loss team. You would need Mississippi, Kilgore would need to win out. They would get in as well at 9-1. So, guys, a two-loss team, it's potential, but I would put it at 40% that a two-loss team from Mississippi would get in. I think Snow would steal that fourth slot at 9-2 over Mississippi.
And Snow,
they have before.
And Snow, of course, is out of the state of Utah. For folks that aren't necessarily well. You know, read on the junior college teams across the country. Now, one of my favorite, and I'm kind of throwing you a curveball here, Mike, but you'll probably know the answer to this. One of my favorite trivia questions is that when Pearl River played for the national championship back in 2009, somewhere back, I know that's not even necessarily, they played Butler out of Kansas, all right, for the national title. And there was the quarterback for Butler is now somebody that's pretty notable. Would you know off the top of your head who that was?
No idea.
Okay, he's a coach in the NFL now. Head coach. Zach Taylor.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, was the head coach He was the quarterback at Butler when Pearl River played for the national title, I think the last time Pearl River played for the national title, which was, 03, 09. I have to brush up on my Pearl River. It's been a while. It has been a while. But, yeah, that's always one of my favorite trivia questions. But so you can be a quarterback in junior college and wind up living your dream as a head coach in the NFL. How about that?
Yeah, he did it at Butler, too, and Butler back then was, you know, obviously a powerhouse program, you know. Back to that two-loss Mississippi thing, I just want to be clear. I'm not wishing for that.
No,
I'm
of course.
Just stating I'm just stating the facts here. I mean,
yeah.
You are going to be a two-loss team. Man, you're going to be on pins and needles trying to get into that. And that would take a Herculean effort from the AD from Northwest or from East Mississippi, as well as the head coaches, to get in there and really, really sell that committee. You know, because they had snow. They had snow preseason four. Snow was four, then bumped down to five. So, see, the door is open. I just don't think it's going to be open. It's just my opinion. Even though Mississippi would be deserving, I don't think a two-loss team from Mississippi is going to get in because of snow.
But Mike, like, what's the – surely that committee, though, when they look at that, though, they see that, you know, Mississippi had, what, four teams in the top 10 this year, and they're all beating up on each other? I mean, I get it. It's almost as much as we dislike – or not dislike, but that we – talk about the privilege of the Southeastern Conference. I guess I'm playing that card here. But certainly that's a metric that they consider when two of those losses were to, you know, top 10 teams.
You know, you would think, however, if you look where snow is positioned at number five, and here's where I can make my point. Why is snow ranked number five over Trinity Valley, who's number six in our poll, and further down the list in the NJCAA poll, when Trinity Valley beat Snow back in August?
Yeah.
So if Trinity Valley, who made the playoffs in Texas, you know, if they went out, does the NJCAA have the courage to call that administration and say, look, I know you have the same record as Snow, but and you beat them, but we're putting them in. I just don't see, in following this stuff, and seeing where Snow is positioned, I don't see Snow getting bumped by Texas and Mississippi, yeah, unless they're one-loss teams.
Yeah, I mean, East Mississippi lost to the two playoff teams from the South. And, you know, I'm looking at Snow's record right now. I mean, they lost, like you said, they lost to Iowa Western, which would be an argument for, yeah, it would be like Gulf Coast beating East or East beating Gulf Coast. But, I mean, the fact that they lost to the number 15 team would seem like the Mississippi team would jump them. Anyway, regardless. All right, how did I miss this in looking at this segment today? It's not just a rematch for East Mississippi and Gulf Coast. Eli Anderson was the quarterback at Scuba last year. He transfers to Gulf Coast. Ty Keyes comes in, lights the world on fire. I mean, there's some crazy storylines for that game now.
No doubt. No doubt about that. I mean, and Eastman and Mississippi Gulf Coast beat them 42-17 back in September. So, you know, here's the question I have, and it was on our podcast in our Shot or No Shot. Mississippi Gulf Coast held Ty Keyes to 168 yards passing in that win when they played in September. Do you think that Gulf Coast defense will hold Ty Keyes to under 200 yards passing this weekend?
Oh, man. I just know this. I was talking to somebody today. Jack Wright seems to get the most out of his guys when it really, really, really matters. And I watched them, you know, play Jones a couple weeks ago, and that was a power-running team. And, of course, Anderson can throw the football as well. And, you know, that's kind of been what I've been proud of with Ty this year is that Ty got a reputation of – you know, he couldn't get hit because he just had a bunch of injuries at Southern Miss. But, you know, he's been tougher. But I suspect the Bulldogs are going to try to hit him early and often. Kelly?
Yeah, I think – I mean, but those – I think you can't argue that those were – you know, Jones really – I just hate that Jones wasn't able to make the playoffs. But really, under their current personnel situation, as many people as they had injured,
yeah,
you know, you don't know that they really would have made a dent anyway. So you really can't argue that under the current circumstances that
sure,
those are the four, you know, best teams. But we just have to hope now under Mike's the way that Mike looked at it, and it certainly makes sense that the right Mississippi team would get in there and maybe get a chance to play for the national championship. Mike, real quickly, tell us about the podcast and how people can download it.
You've got it. Just go to the Chuco Weekly website, download that free podcast. It's once a week. And, hey, on Jack Wright, look at Jack Wright, man. What a job he's done to go into the Lions Den like he has and be sitting where he's sitting, him along with Glenn Davis. Man, those two guys are co-coaches of the year, I think.
Mike, thank you for your continued contributions to the Eagle Hour. Thanks again.
All the best, guys.
When we come back, we're going to have our college football games of the week. Bob Getty has already made his picks, and he's not even here. Can Luke and I catch up? We'll make our picks after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment today, brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training. It's supposed to rain. We're going to get it rain the next few days.
We need it.
What is that?
We need it.
But when you need to get work in and it's raining outside, you can go to DBAT and D1. Great facilities, great coaching, instruction, pro shop. Hey, Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Memberships at D1 and DBAT, great Christmas options. DBATHattiesburg.com on Hardy Street. Luke, Kelly, and Michael. Almost said Bob, but he's out till mid-next week. We're at the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Before we get to our picks, our buddy Andrew Abadie with Pine Belt Sports has an article up. It's free content. It went live today at 10:30. Go read it, and this is what it is. The title is Why Southern Misses Joy Lee McNellis Still Chooses to Juggle Cancer Treatment and Coaching. And Kelly, Andrew shadowed Joy Lee for a week, including chemo treatment, and just tried to allow her and just give people the inside on what she's doing. Man, tremendous article, and appreciate Andrew for doing that. Appreciate Joy Lee for just being so transparent with what she's fighting.
So this is not reality television. This would be reality newspaper.
But yeah, but not to that, not in the complete opposite direction. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
it's not sensational.
No,
it is. But you find
great
out.
Job.
Yeah.
Great job by Andrew doing that. Go read that, y'all, and you'll get, even though we greatly appreciate her and respect her, there'll be more respect for Joy Lee. Just, man, what she's doing, how she's juggling it, and how this team is battling through it. So appreciate that from Andrew. I wanted to pass that on to you guys. All right, picks. Here we go. Bob Getty up 3 games on Kelly Sander, up 4 games on me. Michael in his one appearance this year, 6-4. Marcus, do you just kind of want to stay in the winning column? Is that good to do that?
That'll work.
Okay. All right. So Sander, here we go.
I'll give you a winner. Only time.
I'll give you Bob's pick, Kelly. I'll let you pick, and then I'll pick. All right, we'll start UConn at the undefeated James Madison. JMU 24.5-point favorite. Bob taking the Dukes.
Well, yeah, who's not going to take the Dukes? I mean, they're undefeated.
You're rooting against Jim Mora Jr., really?
Yes. Playoffs?
I am. Playoffs. I am, too. I am, too. Go with the Dukes. All right, Troy in Monroe taking on the Warhawks. Troy, a 21.5-point favorite. Bob taking the Trojans.
Yeah, we're getting all these easy ones out of the way early. Yeah,
got to do it.
Trojans win big.
We've missed on some easy ones, so we don't want to take anything for granted. Old Dominion at Liberty, a non-conference battle for Virginia. Liberty, a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and Liberty undefeated, yes?
Under Jamie Chadwell, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Undefeated, and has anybody even heard of Liberty this year? I mean, undefeated, and nobody has even heard of them. That's because they're in Conference USA. It's where football teams go to die. I will take Liberty.
I'll take Liberty, too. They did crack the top 25 this week.
Yeah, but still, has anybody – you haven't seen any news stories on Liberty? Nothing.
Yep. And a lot of that is because they haven't played anybody, you know, in the top 25. All right. Here's a tricky one. Texas State on the road at Coastal. Coastal without Grayson McCall again. Texas State, a 2-point favorite on the road. Bob takes Texas State.
I'm taking Coastal. The Chanticleers apparently have not missed him at all. I don't know what the deal is, but they're playing some of their best football. Arguable, but they're playing some of their best football right now. I'm going to take Coastal.
I want to take Texas State, and I want to take Coastal. That's not possible.
Come on, Luke.
I'm going to go with Coastal at home. There we go.
Can you hear his nervous foot banging?
I was tapping. I was doing it on purpose out loud. Arky State at South Alabama.
Wait a minute. You took Coastal?
I took Coastal,
right,
yes.
Gotcha.
Arky State at South Alabama. The Fighting Womacks are a 12-point favorite. Arky State has the momentum. South Alabama does not. Bob has taken the Jaguars.
Yeah, Kane Womack just texted me and said that the number came out even this week. That's good news for South Al. The lucky streak ends for Arkansas State. I'll take the Jags.
Yeah, I heard that there was actually some Arkansas State signs in Mobile, and that doesn't bode well for Arkansas State. So I'll take the Jaguars as well. I think this is kind of a they have to win this game, and if they want to, to make sure they get a bowl game. So,
well, Arkansas State would become bowl eligible as well.
So they are playing for something down there. I just think that South Al will have too much. All right, Georgia Southern on the road in Marshall, 2.5-point favorite. Georgia Southern got beat last week, but Marshall just really bottoming out at the end of the season.
That's a head-scratcher. Marshall, there's no way Marshall should be this bad, and they are stinking it up. You can smell it from here. I just have a hunch that Marshall might win that game, but I'm going to play the numbers and take Georgia Southern.
Yeah, Bob took Georgia Southern, too. I forgot to tell you. I'm going to take Georgia Southern just because I think they've got too much. App State put 31 up on them, so what is Georgia Southern, going to do? Real quick, in the NFL, 49ers at the Jags. Bob takes San Francisco.
I'm not. I'm taking the Jags.
I'm taking the Jags at home as well. Saints in Minnesota. Bob taking the Saints. I will, too.
Minnesota doesn't have a quarterback they can trust yet. I'll take the Hoodats.
Tonight, Southern Miss, an 8.5-point favorite. Bob Getty has taken – Southern Miss, an 8.5 dog. Bob Getty has taken the Cajuns. Luke Johnson will take the Eagles.
And I say, to the top.
There we go. So Bob, again, showing – just kidding. He's trying to win. I get it. Anyway, 6:30 kick tonight. Go Southern Miss, beat the Cajuns. We'll catch you tomorrow. We'll be at Camp Shelby live as we celebrate Veterans Day and honor all of those who have served our great nation. We'll see you tomorrow. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Go to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.